Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
All right, Dennis Prout, Shea Pataja, Prout Financial Design, here to talk about your money, your retirement funding, and today they're going to talk a little bit about where we are right now on the calendar, which is approaching slowly but surely the end of the year. Welcome.
You bet
aboard.
It is. Hey, thanks, Ron. It's great to be here on November 8th. And we got a lot to talk about. The 19 things to prepare for year end for 2019, ways to be ready for 2019. 19. Now, we're not going to get to them all.
19.
Frankly,
what?
Some of them would throw you right under the table in terms of their detail with boredom. But there are about 10 in there that I think the listening audience would have interest in and or be helped by. So 19 ways to be ready for 2019. We're going to hit a couple of those, and then Shay's got some Shay stats
too,
to break up the nausea. One, make sure the 2018 required minimum distributions or RMDs for all IRA account owners who reached age 70 and a half prior to 2018 are paid out.
We've only been talking about this all year, so.
Yeah. So if you don't get it all done, the penalty is 50%.
Ouch.
Well, I got a 401k over there. Do I have to take one out of that? Well, yes, you do. Hmm. Especially if you're more than a 50% owner or you're no longer working at that place, you have to take RMDs out of that. Well, I always heard that if I had a Roth IRA, I didn't have to take RMDs out of those. No, you don't if you're the primary owner. But if you were a beneficiary,
yes, if you're a beneficiary,
a non-spouse beneficiary, mm-hmm. generally most people would call, say, a child of an owner who owned a Roth IRA, you have to take an RMD as well from that Roth IRA. And, well, we'll get to some other points about that. But the RMDs, get on the wagon with that because you don't want to have to pay the penalty. Much too expensive. Two, verify that all RMDs or required minimum distributions for deceased IRA owners, if not taken by the original owner when alive, are paid out to the beneficiaries by year end.
What happens if you don't?
The penalty is 50%.
There you go.
So if, you know, for instance, one of them passed away in April of this year, didn't get a chance to take their RMD, you've gotten it transferred to your own beneficiary IRA, most administrators are going to take that out, the required minimum distribution for that participant before they send you the balance of funds, but some don't always. So you need to make certain that you have taken, as the inheritor of that account, that RMD for them. It's taxable to you, but you have to take, in essence, their required minimum distribution that they had not taken.
So you could be 25 and have an RMD if
yep.
you're the beneficiary.
That's right.
So think about that.
So young, 25, and having to take a required
minimum distribution.
That'd be
sad. I would not want to have to
Very
be on
sad.
That. Yeah.
Now, a huge number of these beneficiary IRAs are gone within a year after having been inherited.
Yeah.
Gone.
Well, we had
gone.
A stat on that. It's like 87%
yeah.
spend their inheritance.
I couldn't remember exactly what that was.
Spent?
It was big.
Yeah, it's gone. Spent. It's gone mm-hmm. very quickly within the first year, 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
If only I had all the Shea stats memorized. If only.
Yes. So given those numbers, what would that mean in terms of you passing this on? Does it make sense to pass this on to them? And or for them and the ones who have influence over them, are you wanting that as the, if you will, the original owner of that IRA to be spent on that quickly? There are certain limits you can put on those IRA accounts through trusts and or spendthrift clauses within those agreements to keep that from happening as well. But those who inherit the accounts have a tremendous amount of responsibility to get this figured out. And as I was reviewing this, I was thinking the importance of having a financial advisor only increases with time on these things. It's just critical in getting this figured out.
Mm-hmm.
How much do we take? When do we take it? What's the penalty if we don't? How much do we take this year? How much next year? What's that going to look like? Those are conversations we have with clients on a daily basis. Question on the air.
From Kingsley, Michigan, Bill is on the line for Dennis Prout. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, guys. How are you all doing?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Dennis, my question to you is, and this might be a little bit off the wall and just kind of from left field, but we all, and I say we all, most of us, when we invest our money, we give it to someone like you or another financial planner or give it to a fund that invests in multiple companies all across the board. And most of those companies, obviously, none of us know anything about them other than it's Walmart or it's AT&T or it's, you know, we don't shake the hand of the owner. My question is there anything local or has anybody ever thought about trying to invest in local businesses instead of reaching out to Walmart for some of those investments or these, you know, the huge conglomerates? I love them because I make money on my investments, mm-hmm. but I would also like to possibly, you know, keep my money local. Obviously, Traverse City, other than any place I've ever lived in my life, is locally driven. So why not try to keep some of that money local and help some of these local businesses to get going or to keep going or to invest in more infrastructure or, you know, instead of going, you know, possibly the bank route or, for heaven forbid, the angel investor route where obviously you get killed doing that as a business. Is there something locally that you know of or has anybody ever talked about doing anything like that, like a Traverse City fund or something like that?
Well, there is a very good, you mentioned angels not being that good. There is an angel fund in Traverse City that's actually done quite a good job at that. You need to be part of a larger organization. I would suggest you might want to.
Northern Michigan Angels, if you have look it up, I know they're always looking for people. I don't know what their qualifications are, but they meet and they are looking for people.
Yeah, they are organized and they're methodical. And I know some of the people in that group are some of the best business people in this area, period. Very, very good quality people. So you may want to check out the Northwest Michigan Angel Group.
There's another statewide thing. It's crowdfunding. The legislature passed a few years ago. It allows small businesses to raise money through crowdfunding, and it's an investment too. But you'd have to, I don't have the information, do a little research on Michigan business crowdfunding. Yeah. If you Google that, it might come up.
I would suggest, too, possibly a conversation with an accountant or two in the Traverse City area who's more business-orientated. Start making your connections. There has to be a way to get this done in a methodical, smart, responsible way.
Gotcha. I just didn't know if there was, you know, specifically a Traverse City fund that we don't know about.
But wouldn't that be nice? You know, none that I know of at this point.
Gotcha. And I guess my question is, with all the businesses and everybody, the businesses are doing pretty well up here, most of them. How hard is that to start? And maybe that's, again, a question that's too far down the road.
They'd have to go public, wouldn't they?
Because they're not publicly traded, it would be a tall order. I mean, gotcha. That would be a conversation we'd have to have offline.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, but try Northern Michigan Angels. They are looking for members to join them. I would
go to one of the meetings.
Start. Yeah.
Absolutely. Start checking out the scenery, okay?
There you go.
Check the first out the advice scenery. I would give you.
So 19 things you should seriously consider doing before the end of the year.
Yes.
To make sure that your financial house is in order.
Yes.
All right, so a lot of RMD stuff. What about number three? What's number three on the big list?
Number three on my list is make sure funds intended to be 2018 Roth IRA conversions leave the IRA account or employer plan by the end of the year. So if you've wanted to make a Roth conversion, you need to make certain that those monies are done and or converted in 2018 to make that happen. Why would I want to do that? Well, you have a longer term time horizon, 8 to 10 years. You're not afraid to pay some tax today at today's historically low tax rates. And you don't want to take required minimum distributions from this account, which can be any amount for any taxpayer can transfer or convert an IRA into a Roth IRA. Keep in mind the cost of conversion is your tax bracket. So what bracket are you in, and how much in terms of cost is that going to be? Break even, 8 to 10 years, given that you're paying the tax today. So do you have the money to pay the tax set aside? Do you have 8 to 10 years to make it happen? And do you anticipate that your bracket, your tax bracket, will be the same or higher in the future? Those are the big three.
Just yeah, for, yeah.
For wait, those what? Who wanted to know. Yeah. Here's a good one. QCDs, qualified charitable contributions. We need to interview that guy sometimes. You know, he has those comments once in a while.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah, yeah.
Find out just, who that is.
Just try
let's
to make
just
sure
talk
he's
to him
here.
Sometime. It'd be great. So, yeah. Complete 2018 qualified charitable distributions. Father Fred, you wanted to give them $1,000 from your IRA this year because you heard somewhere, like on this radio show, I heard this is a good deal. Should I do this? Well, they're going to certainly say yes, but your accountant or bookkeeper will most certainly say, well, have you already done all of your required minimum distribution? Well, yeah, everything but $1,000 makes it convenient for my point here. Given that's the amount you need to take, give it to Father Fred directly from your IRA. Then it's not included in federal tax, state tax, or your Social Security tax. Tax on your Social Security income, which can be up to 85%. Much better than a deduction, because you probably won't be able to take the deduction this year. Because the deduction standard now for couples is $24,000. 24K.
Wow.
And before I forget, we need to figure out a question at the break that we're going to ask for people to call in on so that they can get that PBS show from Ed
the
Slott.
The Ed Slott.
Oh, I mean, they'll that's a cool program.
There's so much in there. CDs, books, what else? I mean, it's
deep.
Everything but Ed Slott himself.
Except on the CD and on the DVDs, yeah? Well, he's not in the box, yeah. That'd be interesting. Thanks, Ed. Yes. So, qualified charitable distributions can be in an amount over your required minimum distribution up to $100,000. Your local church has got a huge building program. You want to help them out this year. You've confirmed it with your loved ones and or advisors. Hey, I could give $20,000 out of my IRA. I'm over 70 and a half. I want to give it direct to that church for this building program through my IRA, and it won't be taxable to me. Correct on all accounts. $20,000 direct to the church, not taxable to you. And what a good way to get them moving, huh?
You know what I think is really cool about the Land Conservancy website is they're doing that big campaign for the multiple properties.
Yes.
I didn't realize that you could go online and then click on the property and see how much they've raised. So if you have a special interest in one of the properties for whatever reason, you can go there and give. And I think that's super neat.
Yeah, that's another great local tax-exempt organization that is making a huge impact in this area. And that's going to be a fun one to talk about here in the coming months, too, because they're about 70-75% of the way there already on their fundraiser to intercept a whole lot of very, very beautiful properties in the Traverse City region and the Grand Traverse region that otherwise would not have been able to be intercepted from development. And that is one amazing website.
We're just really lucky we live in an area with so many great nonprofits. I mean, we have enough nonprofits that Impact 100 can exist to give to, and that's just pretty cool.
Passionate, responsible, wonderful goals and works that they're working on, that they're passionate about, that are going to leverage our funds for those who are interested in giving in this area. And we have another question.
Yeah, Anita is calling in from Traverse City. Hello, Anita.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That $20,000 that can be donated tax-free directly from your IRAs, can that $20,000 be part of your MRDs or maximum distribution, MDR, or is it in addition to?
It can be a part of it or in addition to. So let's just say your RMD, required minimum distribution, is $15,000 for the year, as an example. All right?
Okay.
Let's say that of that $15,000, you want to commit $5,000 to that nonprofit organization. You can do that as a part of your RMD. Or, in the alternative, you can go all the way up to $100,000 in any given tax year, regardless of what your RMD is. So your RMD, again, in that case, being $15,000, you could give another $15,000 all the way up to $100,000 total to that charitable organization.
Out of your IRA or 401k. And it will not be attached.
Not out of your 401k, just the IRA, SEP IRA or simple IRA. It has to be an IRA account that you do this through.
And it's not taxed.
It can't be from a 401k, and it is not taxed.
Okay. But if you do that, you cannot apply that extra that you've taken out up to $100,000 toward next year's RMD?
No, wouldn't that be nice? No, it's not carried over, Anita.
Okay.
But obviously then it means that you would have to take less in terms of that RMD in the future because there's less money in your IRA account. So there is some.
Okay, there's some benefit.
Some benefit, yes, even you're trying to keep those managed, if you will. Okay.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome, Anita. Now, keep in mind, it's available for 19, too. This has been made permanent in the new tax law. This QCD, or Qualified Charitable Distribution Option, because it's been made permanent, it's not just this year, it's next year as well. So you may not want to split it between the 2 years, because, of course, we're only 6 weeks out of the end of the year, six, 7 weeks. Yeah. Can you believe it, Ron?
6 or 7 weeks.
Have you gotten
weeks
your Christmas
yet.
Shopping all done, by the way? Not me. I'm not even close.
Don't even.
I'm still thinking about the turkey for Thanksgiving.
I'm just starting to get there.
Yeah.
I'm still eating Halloween candy.
So the 19 ways to be ready for 19 is a direct transfer of inherited employer plan funds to a property properly titled inherited IRA before the end of 2018 for named non-spouse beneficiaries. What the heck are they talking about?
Right.
Really?
I heard.
Who inherited the plan funds in 17, and that's a possible orientation of a question that I had where a person was talking to me. And they said, well, we had to get the funds distributed before year end, and we could not roll those over. It could be that it was not a properly, it was not a beneficiary account. The beneficiaries had not been named, possibly, on that account. So beneficiaries give you a tremendous amount of flexibility. It's also true that sometimes you're going to be short. You're going to be short in terms of time. Mm-hmm. In getting this stuff done. You know, if someone passes away in December, well, you got to move on getting those funds sometimes transferred to the properly named beneficiary IRA or beneficiary account. That's why these qualified plans can be difficult to work with should something happen to you. Yes.
Wait, this.
Dennis is pointing. Shay is scrambling.
Sounds like we're playing charades.
She's pointing to his
radio
cocktail
charades.
There. Shay, get my cocktail for me. No, that's not true.
It was actually called a Kleenex. You know, I don't know what happens, but when I talk about money, sometimes the nasal passages start to
just overcome with emotion.
Or it could be that it feels like January outside and it's only November.
Yeah.
Isn't right.
Instant winter.
I know. It's like instant winter.
We have gone from one to another very quickly.
It's the first time I've shoveled and then had to rake my driveway in that order.
Shake.
I had to shake.
Shake.
So a direct transfer of inherited employer plan funds to the properly entitled IRA before the end of 2018 for generally children. You have to get that done. For inherited plan funds from 17. So if you inherited them in 17, you have to get it transferred by the end of this year, 18. man, you really need to keep track of this in terms of time frames, again, because you can wind up causing yourself a tremendous amount of tax if you don't get that done in the proper time. Sometimes it's just understanding what the rules are. Many times we'll have people that, you know, brand new clients or people we're just meeting. Here's an issue. What do I do about this? I'm being told that my time frame is this. Well, you actually have this time frame and or other issues related to significant stops in time frame where we have to help them walk through. Okay, what are those stops? How do you get through that? Phone calls, information, all that going back and forth and understanding. Sometimes we need to call our own reference people, our own consultants in regards to this. That was a conversation 3 weeks ago, specific to a rollover situation.
That's why we've got Ed.
That's why we have Ed Sly.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the, I have to say some, he is among the best or the very best IRA consultants on the planet, as well as retirement plan consultants. Lots of attorneys and legal people on his staff there that help us out to advise clients properly to avoid this tax consequence and or make certain that it gets transferred properly. And when you inherit that IRA from mom or dad, then in turn need to name your successor beneficiaries. Who will be the primary beneficiary in that IRA? Who will be the successor or contingent beneficiary? So that's important as well.
What happens if there was a tragedy, a fire, accident, or whatever, in which mom and dad died and the beneficiary child died? And then, there's another beneficiary on there, or would it go to court? It would all go to court then?
It would have to be a probated asset if there's not a successor beneficiary alive in that in that situation. So it would be through the estate that would be handled then. And many times the documentation itself, we simply look to the plan document in terms of the IRA. Every IRA document is written down in terms of how that should be handled to beneficiaries. So that's an important question. Many times it may go to the owner's siblings.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the situation and what
can
the document
you, can
actually
says. Can you write
says.
That all in, say first choice, second choice, third choice, kind of a
you can
order?
Name a second contingent beneficiary if you want to. Sometimes that's called, referred to as per stirpes. So if parents both pass away as well as the one named child in this instance, then that one named child's portion would then go to his or her children as well. Okay. So in essence, grandchildren of the owners of that account. So that's the nomenclature, if you will, per stirpes. That's what that refers to.
Per stirpes.
An important thing to think about, often, seldom I should say, would that happen? But it's important to try to perhaps add that language to the document itself just to make certain, because obviously as those amounts continue to grow, we want to make certain that we've named the appropriate beneficiaries and check the documents
in terms of
what does the trust say?
Yes.
If the trust is named, and is the trust appropriate for that document too? Then the last one, remember, for contributions for the prior year, you have until your tax filing deadline, generally April 15th, of 2019, to make a 2018 contribution to that Roth IRA with any earned income. Doesn't matter age. You don't have to be under 70 and a half to do a Roth IRA contribution. Why should you want a Roth? Well, it grows tax-free to you, your spouse, and your children. Tax-free growth. Now, the children have to take an RMD, but that RMD that they take is based on their age and the fact that it's non-taxable. That can be a beautiful thing.
April 15th is a Monday this year.
So, for the first time in some time, it'll be the actual filing day, eh?
Yep.
It's not a holiday.
But in Washington, D.C., didn't they have a holiday?
Yeah, last year it was April 15th, was a Saturday.
Yeah.
Somehow we didn't wind up with a tax filing deadline until the 17th last year. Well, of 18, yes, was the tax filing deadline.
Yeah, because it was Saturday. 15th was Saturday, so it would have been Monday the 17th. However, that was the holiday
in Washington.
That was also a holiday,
so they
bumped it to the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
18th. But this year, Monday the 15th.
Yes, thank you, Ron.
Okay.
Then, for those who are self-employed, you have until the latest date of your extension to contribute to a SEP IRA.
Mm.
Well, think about that. If you're somewhat short on cash flow, you may decide to do an extension for whatever reason and make a contribution to your SEP to still deduct from 18 taxes.
I mean, think it over.
It can make a difference, especially as you contribute more to those SEP IRAs.
All right. Shall we go to the phone?
Yes.
Joining us now on New Retirement Radio from Cedar, Michigan, the community that cares, it's Jim. Good morning, Jim.
Yes, good morning, Ron. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Jim. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you. Just before the break, you dropped the buzzword trust.
Yes.
I have a question pertaining there, too. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you cannot transfer an IRA or a 401k into an irrevocable trust.
Well, correct. The IRA itself cannot be transferred. The owner always has to be an individual. But the in this case, if you're wanting to make that irrevocable or irrevocable, you can name the beneficiary as that trust, and then the trust would then still oversee those assets as long as the trust is.
Okay, so then upon the death, in other words, the person who owns the IRA, they cannot put that or transfer that or be managed by an irrevocable trust, but they can name the trust as a beneficiary once. Is that correct?
While they're alive, if they name that trust. Now, the trust has to be legal for IRA trust language, okay? It has to be legal according to all the federal rules. It has to be timely registered. It has to be legal in the state of Michigan and some other requirements as well. Actually, we have a very good module in relation to naming the trust as a beneficiary in an IRA. If you like, Jim, just call our office. We'll be happy to get that to you, all right?
Okay. Now, does that also pertain to the 401k?
401k is different. It's going to depend on the 401k administrator itself. That can be interesting. So that would be a phone call to the 401k administration people. Yes.
So it depends upon, if it's a company-sponsored 401k, it would depend upon the rules that a company has established in managing, creating that particular 401k.
Exactly.
It's not something that would be totally covered by the federal government.
Generally, federal government rules, yes, in relation to that 401k, yes.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome,
I appreciate your advice.
You're welcome. Now, the danger of getting this advice over the radio, if you will, is it's not like a face-to-face conversation. So I'm always cautioning people. Whenever you're listening, there's always... I listen to parts of the show on Saturday just to see how it's going often. And I'll miss certain points. I thought, oh, my gosh, I should have made that point as a part of what I'm saying. So that's why it's important that you always get this clarified with your advisor or a face-to-face conversation with us, indeed, if you don't have an advisor or you may be looking for one, all right? That is a key component of getting this right. And many times, again, we'll be looking this up with the client in the office. All right, here are the rules in setting the trust up as the IRA beneficiary. Here's why it could make sense. Here's why it may not make sense, given the details and or the goals that you're trying to achieve. Well, we can't talk about that on the radio, obviously. So you see where the depth of conversation there can make a big difference. So in this case, always beware, okay? All right, economics, what we saw. We attended the Grand Traverse Chamber City of Commerce Business Expo yesterday morning early.
Tuesday morning.
Excuse
this week's
me.
Going
Today
so
is
fast.
Thursday. Tuesday morning early, 7:30. Heard a talk given by Mr. Jeffrey Korzenek, I think is how I pronounce it, Chief investment strategist at Fifth Third Bank, has written several articles in several major publications, Boston Globe, Business Week, Wall Street Journal, among others. He's been interviewed extensively on TV and radio on the economy and financially related topics. Very interesting talk he gave. Some of the top points I thought listeners might be interested in. Number one, he said it doesn't get any better than this, and it won't in terms of stimulus. Peak stimulus is behind us. He said this is basically for 2018. In terms of tax cuts, he thought we were done with tax cuts. And I would say politically, I think he's especially right at this point. Mm-hmm. Number three, this is a surprise. Opioids are our biggest labor problem. Biggest.
Yeah.
Reentry is our biggest labor opportunity, getting these people back into the labor force. And there's concerted efforts to make that happen with nonprofits as well as profit-orientated organizations. Get these people who are on the edge back into the labor force. States and municipalities, it's not the debt, it's the liability. And what he means by that is a significant liability, not only for their obligations, but specific to their pension plans. State of Michigan is among the better. It's about 65% funded with their pensions. Well, when you go to Illinois, New Jersey, some of them are in the 30 to 35% range in terms of funding their public pensions or public demands for the future. Pretty significant. Now, in terms of capital expenditures, I thought this was especially interesting. Capital expenditures, he said they thought would continue to increase because of, number one, competitive tax rates. We had the biggest capital infusion through a tax cut that we have ever seen in terms of a corporate tax cut. That number was significant. So given those competitive tax rates, it means that companies' expenses have gone down, and generally where they take those funds are additional capital expenditures. Strong profit growth by corporations, easy financing conditions, deregulation, competitive energy cost. All you have to do is take a look at the price of gasoline, right? $2.65 or so a gallon, not bad. U.S. energy renaissance, as Shay mentioned in her stats. Incredible increases in our own energy production tends to tamp down those price increases. And again, cost in the economy, relatively low at this point. China's competitive advantage is gone. He is gone. That interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a bold statement to make.
That is.
Yes. I'm not sure I entirely agree with that. We'll see. Growing capacity constraints from capital to labor. We had conversations with the people on our table, builders. A gentleman right next to me said we could hire 10 people right now. 10 we could use actively, but we'd be happy with one, is what he said. I was surprised. One person. So we always think, I tend to think, oh, that's downstate. You know, they have, obviously we know we have labor problems up here, but I didn't know they were quite that severe, especially with relatively better careers, if you will, more qualified labor.
Some of those companies have to turn down jobs or they don't seek to grow because they don't have the manpower. Mm-hmm. And even in Michigan, where they say they want to spend $3 billion to fix the roads, and we think, well, regardless of who you support politically, where you think the money will come from, if we had that money, question is, would we have enough people to actually spend it on to go fix the roads? And the answer is no.
Hmm. Yeah, so we have too much money chasing a problem that's going to take many more years to resolve. That's an interesting point. Yes. Fearless forecast for the rest of 18, how much more time do we have?
We has a minute and a half.
GDP, or gross domestic product, will accelerate from the first quarter. Interest rates will rise. Now, this was interesting. The short end faster than the long, and he was talking about, as well, predicting if we do have a recession, what the stock market would do, and the audience became very quiet.
Very quiet.
At this one.
Yeah. Hmm.
He said in the average of previous recessions, the market decline is 20%. He said if you're not comfortable with this 10% decline, then you ought to take a look at your portfolio in terms of its allocation. And I would say the same. Because bonds actually have a better I think they're an intelligent allocation going forward for a period of time here, given this bump we've seen in interest rates. You've seen this in one-year CDs. We're looking at over 2% right now. So given history that they were less than 0.5% not that long ago, that's a nice increase as an indicator. So this increase in interest rates may help you to be more conservative if you're concerned, and especially if you're taking withdrawals from accounts. That can be the key. We don't want to be beholden to a stock market to pay us if the market's down and we have to take money out. All right?
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.